mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 42. Wow. Tylee breathed, shifting her balance just a little to counter the tank's vibration as she looked at the explosion of papers all over Azula's room. Did we hit a really bad bump? Because I thought I would have felt it, but maybe I was doing a finger stand? No, Azula said shortly, as the acrobat closed the door behind her. I did this intentionally. Okay. And no, I haven't hit my head again, the princess said wryly. This is a strategy, even if it seemed utterly silly to describe. It occurred to me that the Fire Nation's strategic environment has become suddenly complicated. Wide gray eyes blinked, looked over scattered papers, shrugged. Shell matching, Azula filled in. Oh, Tylee brightened, frowned a little. For the past century, our enemies have been clearly defined. Azula broke it down further. We eliminated the air temples, set to work on the Earth Kingdom, and harassed the water tribes. She paused, giving the airbender a measuring look. You've never seemed concerned about the temples. But that was before you remembered you were a bender. Did her father know the Onmitsu could do that? Did Fire Lord Ozai have any idea? No, he trusts me. Not with all of our strategy, of course, but if he'd known anyone could tamper with your mind to the point you forgot your own spirit, he would have told me. Which made it all the more critical to avoid pursuing Zuko. Perhaps she would have trusted news of the Avatar's planned invasion on the eclipse to a messenger hawk. But as things stood, some intelligence was too deadly to bring any way but in person. We need to know how their methods work and how to counter them. No firebender should ever be robbed of their flame. As for what they'd done to Tylee... Hugni, how much of the acrobat's disconnect from the world was Tylee, and how much was being cut off from her own spirit? You hurt her, Azula thought towards those as-yet-unnamed elders. She'd learn their names, one way or another. You hurt one of my people, and I will make sure it never happens again, no matter how useful you are. And Tylee seemed to actually be thinking about what she'd said. Interesting. What happened to the temples was bad, Tylee said at last. But I don't think they would have let Aang be another Yangchen. Azula arched a brow. Yangchen? The last air nomad avatar. Only she got away. Got away? Azula asked carefully. Avatars were honored by their nations, or so the histories read. Of course, she had reason to know histories could lie. Tylee nodded vigorously, wafting papers aside to bounce onto Azula's bed. Absently, Azula noticed how the airbending briefly muted the rumble of the engine's tanks. A cue like that might be vital to get a drop on the Avatar before he could get it on her. Folded on herself to her liking, Tylee squinted into memory. You know the stories about training the Yu Yan because of the raids that killed Avatar Hirata? Thoroughly, Azula said dryly. Some of those had been quite heady adventures for a young lady. If she hadn't been graced with firebending, she'd have fought to be the first among them. Only Father never would allow her a bow. It wasn't fair. Father isn't here. Risky thought. But they'd need the archers for the eclipse, and she could always present the case that she wished to make certain no officious fool who couldn't read a calendar had ordered them elsewhere. That was Skylord Tsubode, Tylee went on. He had a vision. The white wind would own the skies. The rest of us, She glanced at her hands, obviously picturing them pierced through with bloody ropes. My uncle had a vision in Ba Sing Se, Azula noted. That didn't turn out so well. Yeah, Tylee said softly. I wonder who the fire sage who helped him with it was. I bet he was a lot like Monk Xiangchen. Court-trained instinct pricked up its ears. This is important. Who? Monk Xiangchen, Subode's favorite shaman. Tylee obliged. He had a vision, too, and it meant using the Sky Lords. She shifted her feet, dangling over her head, like other girls might shrug. He wanted the whole world to be at peace. Azula let silence stretch between them, making absolutely certain Tylee had no intention of rephrasing that impossible statement. So he helped a man to rape, pillage, and conquer? Think about it, Tylee said, for once serious. Once Subode conquered the world, Xiangchen and his followers could make people peaceful. Azula shook her head. That's impossible. You can't make. People can't fight if they don't remember how or why. Stepping blindly through scattered papers, Azula sat down. Trained control or not, she wanted to shiver. Forget to fight? Forget what kept you alive? Agni, oh Father of Fire, preserve us! So he helped Subode until Avatar Hirata was killed, so the Sky Lord could give him the next Avatar. Tylee went on. And he did. So Xiangchen got to keep her as a nun, away from the world, while Subode and his son Yisuge and his son Subode, boy, that was always hard to keep straight, kept conquering all over the place. And, well, it's a lot of long stories, but she got away, and something happened near the North Pole, and ashes were falling out of the sky everywhere, and she got Subode and his warriors and Xiangchen. But she didn't get the ones who believed in Xiangchen. Not all of them. Tylee took a deep breath, gray eyes bright with tears. And all the healers were treating lung sickness from the ashes, so Xiangchen's followers could just go places and find them. And they took them away to the temples, and no one ever, ever came back. Fools if they didn't hide, Azula almost said, regarded those threatening tears and softened her tone. So you lost clan to the air temples? Well, it wasn't just the healers, Tylee gulped. If they found you, if they knew what you were, if you couldn't get away, airbenders were supposed to be spiritual. That's what they said. And Xiangchen said spiritual people didn't have attachments. Ever. So if they found you, she shivered. Cold rage burned in Azula's heart. You are supposed to be sunshine, the wild wind, blowing where it will. You are not ever supposed to be afraid. Not of someone who isn't me. He won't do that to you, Tylee. Do you hear me? The Avatar will never do that to you. I'll burn him alive first. The acrobat sniffled, scrubbed at her eyes, and gave Azula a watery smile. You can be really scary, in a good way. She unfolded herself, serious. That's why I couldn't let Zuko win. He's too nice. You say you'll stop Aang if he tries that, and you mean it. Zuko, he doesn't want to hurt people. Not really. She glanced down, sad. I kind of hope Aang doesn't know anything about what the temples did. The elders think the monks didn't catch anybody after Qin the Conqueror, but who knows? She rustled a few papers. So, messing up a bunch of histories and reports is a new tactic? Conversational whiplash. Occupational hazard, talking to Tylee. As I was saying, it's been the Fire Nation against the world, Azula obliged. Now we have the Fire Nation, the Earth Kingdom, the Avatar's ragtag band, wherever they are, whoever Brushmaker 2 was working for, and my brother's apparent alliance with the Earth King. Multiple factions, multiple goals. She waved a hand at the scattered pages. Given our intelligence analysis somehow missed half of those, I intend to do a new one. By mixing everything up? So you can see if things really match instead of just being together because that's where everyone always puts them. Tylee brightened. Did you find anything? Can I help? Yes, Azula said bluntly. And I believe my brother is better at intuiting danger than most of our generals. She tapped a sharp nail on her own list of notes. I've identified at least 3 key conspirators who must have been assisting Uncle, all of whom had relatives among the raw recruits in the 41st. Oh, Tylee said in a small voice. Stupid Zuko, Azula thought. You should have whispered to Uncle. You should have let him stop it. Stupid, possibly. Naive, she was beginning to believe instead. How had Zuko reached 13 so innocent? She shook it off and gave Tylee a look in askance. You're not thinking far enough. If Zuko was able to grasp what would be a fracture point to lead men into treachery 3 years ago, what has he seen about the Avatar now? She waved a hand towards the tank wall, vaguely towards Ba Sing Se. Now days behind them. He left with the Avatar, we saw it, but my rock-headed, treacherous brother, who doesn't want to kill, didn't stay with the Avatar. Think, Tylee, what does that mean? Oh, Tylee turned faintly green. That sounds really bad. Yes, Azula said grimly. That's why we need to talk to him. Huh? It will be difficult, Azula mused, tapping the list thoughtfully. He's not stupid enough to let me close enough to kill him again. It'll have to be messages, and we can't risk those falling into the wrong hands. The vibration of the tank shifted. She crossed the room to fling the door open. Why are we slowing down? The Dai Li, who'd just raised a hand to knock, looked slightly nonplussed. Lady Li, or Lo, spotted a messenger hawk. They say it's come for us. Brow raised, Azula headed for one of the top hatches. 15 minutes later, having absorbed the details someone had officially admitted about the Yu Yan, her surviving grandfather, and the completely unexpected news of a cousin now heir to Byakko, Azula called a halt for an hour. For target practice. We really need to talk, Zuzu. Because if Zuko had somehow made off with part of the Yu Yan needed to defend the capital on the day of the eclipse, he'd better have a damn good reason. He's up to something, Saluen thought, suspicious. I just know it. Oh, not the Fire Navy lieutenant currently leading them down passageways and companionways. Even if he was casting a few shifty glances her way, she'd seen enough sailors trading with the island to recognize a young man sneaking peeks, even if he was in red armor. Not even the pair of princes and the dragon they'd left behind, though she was sure they were up to something. Probably lots of somethings. No. The only one she was worried about was the way too thoughtful little brother walking with her. That touch of white locks ruffling in a breeze, eyes creased and thinking. He's planning something. Can I hide now? Worse, she was pretty sure he was planning something that had to do with Prince Zuko. And when 2 nefarious plots butted heads, someone was going to get hurt. Not that she thought Longsway would plot something nefarious. Well, besides getting them onto a rebel Fire Nation ship in the first place. But there was one thing about her little sword brother she just knew was going to rub their reluctant host raw as leopard shark skin, and she couldn't for the life of her see a way around it. Yet. Longsway respects the spirits and the Avatar. He didn't revere them, not like some villagers she knew, but he and his family had always honored them, always leaving offerings on the new moons and the season turns. And they'd always believed the spirit world could not be destroyed, and someday there would be an Avatar again. Longsway might not respect what the current Avatar had done. A screw-up of epic proportions was the most polite thing he'd said about the North Pole. But he was absolutely confident that what Aang needed was just some helpful advice, so it didn't happen again. And from what she'd heard a few minutes ago, he knew just who he wanted to have give it. Prince Zuko, give Avatar Aang advice. No, not seeing it. Now, throwing the airbender overboard, that Saluen could see. Or throwing himself overboard. After all, Zuko could swim. He was there at the North Pole. Bad enough to think about when she just heard the glee from the elders at the Fire Nation's defeat. Sure, they were the enemy. Sure, they deserved it. But she dealt with enough of Longsway's nightmares to have a gut-clenching understanding of just what the invasion fleet had faced. No one fought the ocean and won. No one. Once Longsway had told her what would happen to the Fire Nation drowned, and any spirit that came in contact with enough of them, well, she'd had her own nightmares to fight. And Prince Zuko was there. You want to talk him into helping his nightmare, little brother? Put that together with the Firebender's crazy conviction that an airbender would be willing to lead a massacre of his people. Only it's not so crazy, is it? Saluen admitted to herself. She'd pestered Shidan for every scrap of information on the Onmitsu he'd been willing to scrape together. And if that was how you thought of airbenders growing up, and not the nice guy monks at the temple? Sweet and charming and oh so sorry if they have to hurt anyone. But they can paralyze you, they can take away your bending, and if you're lucky, they kill you in the middle of the night. If you're not, they give you to the Fire Lord. She still thought the Fire Nation was a bunch of paranoid, murdering bastards, but the ones on this ship didn't seem to be murderous, just paranoid. Guess I should find out how paranoid. I get the feeling His Highness is a little haunted by the North Pole. Which probably wasn't her most diplomatic moment ever. But Longsway was already going to be rubbing Zuko the wrong way. Better to get any hurt feelings aimed at her first. Haunted. Odd. Lieutenant Sado didn't sound upset. Yes, ma'am. That's a good way to put it. We've kept a memorial flame burning on Suzuran, and it helps, but you don't get over seeing something like that. Something about the way he said, you. Saluen grinned wryly. You sound like you were there. Sado shot her a wary glance, sighed and shrugged. We were. Oh, damn. Longsway gave the firebender a measuring look. How are you still alive? Captain G, Sado said frankly. He'd seen the Avatar cut loose before. The moment we saw the glow, he had us reverse engines. And pray. Saluen almost laughed. The Fire Nation? Praying? Took another look at Sado's face. You're serious? The captain sailed with General Iroh for months, Sado stated. Captain Zhao said the general feared the spirits, but, well, we know what happened to him. He paused, looked abashed. You probably don't know what happened to him. I'm afraid to ask, Saluen muttered, morbidly fascinated. The ocean took him. Sado's gaze was level. Prince Zuko saw that, too. took him. Salouin tried not to shiver. Not wrecked his ship, not drowned him in a tidal wave, took him. Meaning their reluctant host had seen a great spirit mete out personal vengeance on the Fire Nation's fleet commander. Great. The kid's not just paranoid. He's right to be paranoid. I'm just glad he knows how to duck, Sadao muttered. Duck? Longsway asked uneasily, beating her to it. He'd just blasted the Admiral down, the Firebender said wryly. A little disagreement over blowing up the Wani while the Prince was still on it. He nodded towards the next stairwell. Let's try down here. We're all kind of jammed in various places, so just tell me if you think this will work, or if you want to transfer to another ship. Stunned, Salouin followed. Silence. Warm, tea-scented, claws ticking almost soundlessly on the table. Silence. Zuko watched Uncle Iroh glance at the hands resting on polished wood and felt a tickle of dark humor. Yes, he's a dragon. Yes, you never looked. Yes, there's a reason Kotone never let him near the court. Shidan, in the midst of the sneering crowd, Fire Lord Ozai encouraged. That would be painfully short, ending in a pile of dead nobles. And yet another dead dragon, at Ozai's hands. We can't lose him. We can't lose any more dragons. They're few enough as it is. Few and very hard to hide, except in human form, which was never, ever a permanent solution. Just a way to buy time as Byakko tried to stop the madness. And how have they tried that I don't know about? He was afraid to ask, but someone had to. He was just glad Amaya had left for the infirmary, murmuring something tart to Uncle about freezing any member of the family who got out of hand. It was going to be hard enough translating dragon to Fire Nation without adding Water Tribe to the mess. Is there a vendetta between us? Zuko. Uncle shot him a disapproving look. He is your grandfather. Zuko refused to flinch. So was Azulon. Shidan snorted, a stifled, dark laugh. You have his gift for uncomfortable truths. Good. It would be a pity to lose that part of the bloodline. Zuko stared, totally confused. He'd been compared to a lot of people in his life, but Azulon? This can't be good. As for vendetta, Shidan let out a quiet breath and looked Iroh in the eye. I fear you are the only one who can answer that. I can only tell you what I know, from one I believe without doubt. He turned a hand palm up, sunlight catching on sharp nails. Will you hear me? One you believe, Iroh echoed. Ursa? Shidan inclined his head. Don't jump over the table, don't jump! Zuko focused on his grip, nails biting, wood heating under his fingertips. He had to know. She is alive. And the world was too close and too far away at once. Zuko held onto the table and gulped for air. Alive, but wounded. Shidan went on, watching him with knowing eyes. What Ozai did, well, Ozai. He shook his head. General Iroh, I do not know what your father said or intended, nor did Ursa. She only knew what Azula had threatened Zuko with, a threat Ozai confirmed when she went to him. Another slow breath. Your brother meant to sacrifice his son, so he and his chosen heir would succeed Azulon. If that was truly what the Fire Lord ordered, I do not know, and Ursa had no time to learn. To save her children, she struck a very dark bargain. All medicines are poisons, Zuko whispered. So they are. Shidan regarded Iroh. Vendetta is yours to decide, Prince Iroh. In Byakko, as among dragons, vendetta is for the living, to mend broken souls and remove enemies to the clan. But what you will use it for is your choice. Uncle was silent, steam drifting from his tea. To save her children. She does love Azula, even now. Shidan didn't look away. Does any mother wish to see one of her children glory in the death of the other? Zuko swallowed, heart hurting. Iroh sighed. For the living, you say? He gave Shidan a measuring look. Lord Kuzan did not die in bed. We knew Azulon would strike eventually. There was grief in Shidan's voice, and an old, old anger. Ran was his love and his light. Together they could weather any storm. Without her. Shidan glanced aside, saddened. We loved him. We wished him to stay. But he was so very tired. Clawed fingers curled. There are worse ways to die than fighting. Iroh's eyes narrowed. And you seek no vengeance for his death? Shidan smiled, slow and fey. Did I not say we saw death coming, Prince Iroh? Our vengeance sits beside you. Azulon's blood, who will never follow Azulon's will. Azulon's grandchild, Makoto's blood, who wants nothing of the war they have made. We are avenged. His smile softened. And we are blessed and grateful. We thought we knew the risks of joining our blood to the Fire Lord's line. We were wrong, terribly wrong. For years, despite all our healing, despite Shiratora's protection, it is so easy for spirits to still a life before it is truly begun. Chihisen couldn't bear children, Zuko whispered. Ursa was the next eldest of our children. Shidan nodded. One child as a prince's heir, one for Byakko, just as Azulon had planned, to bring us to heel at last. He smirked. A pity for Ozai, that he never grasped the true importance of that plan. Iroh straightened. Zuko was exiled, and we were finally able to set enough defenses. Shidan finished. Even so, we knew we were at great risk. And then... He looked at Zuko, deep and warm. And then Ozai had but one living heir, with none left for Byakko. The spirits were distracted. Early, too early, had we a breathless skill at healing. But we knew we would have no better chance. I was dead. Zuko managed. I was really gone. Just long enough. Joy radiated from Shidan like flame. Your aunt Chihisen is safe, delivered of a daughter by her husband Tsubasa. Haruko has met the dawn for over a full round of the moon and is accepted of Shiratora. The dragon chuckled. She has very strong lungs. Byakko is safe. Well, not safe. Nothing was ever safe. But Lady Kotone had two heirs in the direct line now. Daughter and granddaughter. Any move the Fire Lord might make would be glaringly obvious. And right now, my father's got bigger problems. From Uncle's nod, he'd considered that as well. My brother may know that his forces are better spent resisting the Avatar, but he will hear of your presence among us. You have put Byakko at great risk.
We have taken precautions. Shidan shrugged. I am here. Kotone is not. And like Kuzan before me, I am often seen in unsavory company.
He sobered.
There is no more time, General. All the signs are of danger and death. To do nothing would only mean we perish later. If Byakko is to live, if our people are to survive, we must act.
Iroh frowned. Agni has spoken?
Agni does not speak near as often as the Fire Sages imply.
Shidan said dryly.
Even to those of Dragon's Blood, as you should well know, General.
Silence. Zuko snuck a glance at his uncle, taking in the rare sight of surprise on Iroh's face.
I don't think he does. Azulon didn't talk about family much.
And it was wrong to gloat. Very wrong. But he couldn't help wondering how much Uncle liked having his world yanked out from under him. Bad nephew. Behave.
So what should we do if great-grandmother shows up? Besides run. Running would be wise, Shidan agreed. Beyond that, use water and earth. Makoto is fire only. The dark fire, but fire all the same.
Sozin's companion is dead and gone, Iroh said sharply. He died, was killed, before Azulon was born. It is what began the tradition of dragon slaying.
Ah, and did Fire Lady Tejina tell you that?
Shidan's whiskers twitched.
I am curious. Does Azula truly resemble her mother so much you could not see your grandmother in her?
Her body was in her chambers.
A body, I am sure.
Shidan said dryly.
Hers, I imagine the charring was too horrid to tell. Was it not?
Stop it! Zuko hissed. Startled, the two older firebenders broke off their glaring and glanced at him. Just stop, Zuko said raggedly. Grandfather, I know you hate Makoto. I know. And you made sure my mom married my father anyway, even though you knew we'd all be crazy. I don't understand people. I try and I try and I don't. And that's your fault.
He focused on the other half of the problem.
Uncle, you know the records. You should know better than anyone what they mean. Fire Lady Atsuko vanished when Zoge died.
But that cannot.
It is, Zuko insisted. Sozin was a dragon child. Azulon was a dragon child twice. And if you didn't have all the luck in the world to take after Grandmother Ela, he winced. We're not right, Uncle. Azula, father, me. And you've got to stop thinking it's your fault. You didn't know. I remember Lu Ten. He would have made a great Fire Lord. You taught him that. But you can't teach me, and it just is, Uncle.
He swallowed.
Great-grandfather lied. I'm sorry.
Nephew, Iroh began, stricken. Zuko held up a hand.
Stop. Grandfather, no evasions, no omissions. Why are you here? Why did you come find us now, when we are running from the whole Fire Nation to jam the Avatar spirit between a rock and a hard place?
Is that what you're doing?
For a creature supposedly more in touch with the spirits than any human could be, Shidan looked downright intrigued.
No, it is not, Iroh said firmly. We defy Kiyoshi's decree indeed, and we will build a place of safety for our people, where airbending can rise again. But to think one could ever dictate terms to the spirit of the world?
Iroh shook his head.
Zuko, he is young. He will not listen to reason.
Zuko gave him a look.
In a few years, Iroh amended. But he will understand what we are doing, and he is kind. He will have no reason to act against us, and whatever blame you believe he bears for the North Pole, you have no reason to threaten him.
I am not going to set this table on fire.
Shidan cleared his throat.
We are speaking of Aang, Gyatso student.
At Iroh's nod, he sighed.
I am only a dragon, and my lady's beloved, and ever bewildered by humans. But I think you give the boy too much credit.
Do I? Iroh looked unconvinced.
General, I knew Aang.
Whatever Iroh had been about to say, he apparently thought better of it.
I have rarely seen the boy when he was not pursued by enemies, my nephew or others, but he has seemed quite brave. He has rescued Zuko twice.
Zuko reddened. Pohai's stronghold doesn't count. I went in to rescue him.
And the polar ice?
Iroh raised a gray brow.
All right, that counts.
Which still stung, damn it.
I have never doubted Aang's bravery, Shidan said gravely. A cowardly child would flee. He would never still seek to face the Fire Nation, after all he has seen. No, it is his kindness, his tolerance that I doubt. How are the sons and daughters of Fire to win honor and respect from one who sees dragons as no more than sky bison?
Silence, as sunlight caught glittering motes of dust. Iroh scattered them with a heavy breath.
You are certain? Time after time I would show him images, and never did he shift in his image of me.
Shidan nodded.
Kuzan's animal companion, he believed. No more.
It is not a heritage we speak of with outsiders, Iroh pointed out.
Heritage or not, a boy who cannot recognize the fact that Kuzan would spread scrolls for both of us to read is missing the obvious,
Shidan said dryly.
Leave aside that willful ignorance. If Sozin had not seized his chance with Joetsu and the comet, I well believe Aang would have started the war.
Not on purpose, Zuko protested. Yes, Aang could be an idiot, but...
Oh, right. No, not on purpose.
Shidan agreed, whiskers bent in wry, bleak humor.
He simply assumes those who speak a truth speak the truth, and all of it, and that those he favors are wholly in the right.
A flaw of the young, Iroh observed. Hardly enough to start a war.
More than enough, Shidan countered, with the face stealer setting snares at every turn.
Zuko shivered. Iroh caught that and frowned, looked Shidan in the eye.
We will speak more of this.
Great! Talk about the spirit that wants us all to die horribly.
Alone.
What? Uncle, you wouldn't...
On the other side of a firmly shut hatch, Zuko took in the fact that Uncle most certainly would.
You can't do this to me! I'm...
16. Not a Lord of Byakko. Certainly not a Crown Prince.
He threw me out on my ship!
G's ship, to be specific. For what Uncle thought was a good reason.
I need to think about this.
He couldn't think angry. He knew that. And there might be something Shidan didn't want him to know, without prepared, friendly arms ready to catch him. He said Mom was wounded, that Ozai hurt her. One grandfather had ordered his death twice. The other wanted his father dead.
It's official. Today sucks.
Deep, slow breath. In and out. Use the training. And in the absence of orders to the contrary, go find something and kill it.